Not what, sorry, just clarify. It's not the words he says.
Okay. So the question was asked, how does one change speaking habits? When one speaks in a way that he offends people, how does one change the habit? So we'll try to address it generally, and I hope you'll be able to apply it specifically. Firstly, when it comes to all good traits, I think that people learn best by emulating. It is 11:45 at night. And people tend to rub off on one another. It's interesting that science today has discovered that couples that live together, at the end of their life, their blood pressure is almost the same.
Whoa.
We tend to learn from one another all kinds of habits. You'll notice that if you're around someone that curses a lot, the next time you bang your finger, the first word that'll come to mind is a curse word, even though until now you haven't been one that curses. And the same thing could be true in the positive. And people could strengthen that. People can really emulate someone, and not idolize someone, but emulate, admire, and try to adopt their fashion, their mannerisms, and as such, they will gain some of their traits. This happens naturally over time, but a person can make it happen quicker and stronger by trying to ensure that it happens. And I think that's one of the best ways people improve, by finding a location with good, positive people, having good roommates, having good friends. I've mentioned before that I try to find chavrusas sometimes just because I feel like if I'll be close to this person, he has traits that I want to gain. And by learning with him on a steady basis, I feel like it'll rub off on me. And I think it works. I think it's one of the strongest and deepest ways a person can work on himself. And it's one of the more true ways of working on oneself, because reading about it and knowing that we should do it very often isn't enough. Very often we're not sure how to do it. How am I supposed to be like this? Like we read in the Rambam Shmona Prakim, the Rambam said, you want to gain a certain trait, behave as though you have it. Fake it. So how do you fake it? You want to be a modest person. If you haven't seen modest people, it's very hard to fake being modest. You end up doing a very bad job at faking it. So it's a start. You have no choice. You do it. But I think the better way of doing it is to try and be around people and emulate them. Now, these people could be Rav Listman, Rav Bigun. Rav Bigun you probably have very little contact with, so it's more difficult. But it could be Rav Listman. It could be a roommate. Doesn't have to be someone who's a rabbi who you feel there's a big distance between you and him. It could be even someone that's close to you, but you feel has that trait. And then a person tries to think, let's say in this case we're discussing manners of speech, a person can think, how would this person react in this situation? The more conscious we are of this inner battle that we have, the more successful we'll be at acquiring, at winning. So we said one good way of moving forward is being around people who are that way, which over a period of time will help automatically. And if a person wants to be more quick about it, so he should try and actively learn. I remember as a kid, my mother always used to tell me, smile. I didn't smile. What am I supposed to smile about? My mother would say, you smile, people feel more comfortable being around you. And no one likes a person with a sour face. I must have heard this 1,000 times without exaggeration as a kid. And growing up like you as a Yekke, being German by nature, I heard it, but it fell on deaf ears. I had gone through maybe 17 years of my life. I hit 11th grade or 12th grade, and a new guy came to school. And this guy always smiled. And I saw that I just wanted to talk to the person. because he was a smiley person. And I saw how within a week he had made friends of most of the school. And all he did was smile. It wasn't that he was the brightest person, the most charismatic person. He smiled. And I was so amazed by this, it changed my life. Ever since then, I smile. It changed my whole life. What my mother had told me thousands of times, and I never could inculcate it, it never seeped through. When I saw it once, it made an impression that just changed everything. Sometimes when we see someone, when we see how much they gain by the way they do it, part of the problem that we have in changing is that we might be conscious of the need for change, but we don't want it enough. There are two levels at which we function. One is what we want, and one is what we understand. Nearly 100% of what we do stems from what we want. Very little stems from what we understand. Usually we act, and we try to be able to rationalize what we've done and said logically. Sometimes we reach a conclusion logically, things should be different. But we don't really want to be different. It's not worth the effort for us. And that's why most people find themselves every Rosh Hashanah saying, I'll fix the same thing. Because they recognize that it should be different logically, but they don't really want the change. So one of the ways a person, when he wants to change or thinks he should change, one of the ways he has to approach it is he has to recognize what he will gain by making that change. A person has to take the time to recognize what he's losing by not, what he'll gain by doing it, and try to develop within himself the want, not only the understanding, to change. That's not easy. Because usually, the first thing we do is we regurgitate. We repeat to ourselves all the things we've said until now, why we should change, which obviously haven't worked. So that's why some go for the external stimuli. Say that every time you mess up, you'll give your roommate a shekel, 5 shekel. Then you want to change, but you won't want to enter such a deal. Another thing that helps a lot is stopping to think at the end of each day. One of the reasons why we fail repeatedly in changing ourselves is that we don't analyze often enough. We take fleeting moments in life to say, oh shucks, I did it again. Fine, continue. We'll rarely take the time to analyze how was today. At best, we'll take the time after we've messed up really and we're paying the price for it, and we've really hurt someone's feelings or done something terrible. Then, as we're eating ourselves alive, so we're also thinking, gee, I should really change. But if a person really wants to change, one of the things a person has to do is stop at the end of each day and analyze, where am I today? So he could say, well, today I didn't have any challenges. And then he could analyze it a little bit closer, and he could say, yeah, that's true, I didn't mess up big time today, but I messed up the small times today. There were the small things I messed up on. And if a person can bring himself to be consistent in analyzing himself every day, or worst comes to worst, every week, but that's really not good enough, that's one of the keys to changing, in my opinion. Everything I'm telling you now is collected from different sources, but I'm putting together what I think works best. Now, when it comes specifically to changing habits of speech, so I think a person has to recognize that the first step is going to be to correct oneself. We're unaccustomed to correcting ourselves. And correcting ourselves does something in our minds. I don't know how to explain it, but it does. If a person is offensive in his speech, somewhere mid-sentence he recognizes he's messing up. If he'd stop and say, I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm talking like this. It's a bad habit. I feel very bad. I'm using this tone of voice. I would like to rephrase it. Right now, I don't see how I'm going to do it, but I apologize. It wasn't nice to say it that way. The mere fact that a person has said that causes a change within himself. And next time, he's going to catch himself earlier on in the sentence. And after two or three times, he'll be able to not say the sentence at all. He might not yet have the formula how to say it right. He might not yet know exactly how to do things the better way. And that's where the other things we mentioned help. But he will be able to eliminate the bad habits. All too often we expect that the change should be that I won't do it. Right away, I'll fix myself. And that usually doesn't work. Usually it has to be in stages. And the first stage is that right after a person messes up, or even longer after a person messes up, he tries to fix it. He says, I'm sorry, that wasn't right. And next time he'll catch himself right after he says the sentence. And the next time he'll catch himself after two or three words into the sentence. After a few times he'll be able to not have said it at all. I found that's one of the things that people miss most, because people want to fix themselves. They don't want to apologize. They want to not have to apologize. Whereas part of the process, I think, has to be to apologize. Now, I don't know why it works that way, but my experience has been that it works that way. It really works. People who have tried it this way, people who I know have had success. Yeah. Yeah? Fair? I'm sure there are other, you're welcome to read, there are books on changing speech habits. There's a good book by Rev Pliskin. What's it called? I don't know. I have it at home. I borrowed it from someone sitting by me a few years, but I told him I'm going to hold it for a few years. When I borrowed it, I said, it's a good friend of mine, said, I need to borrow this book from you for a few years. So I can't lend it to you, but I could quote you the name. Yeah.
No, sorry, this is on record. I just remembered something.